Hebrews 11, verse 23 through 26. We want to speak to those verses today. So if you're not there yet, get there. And I want to read those, and then I'll pray. Hebrews 11, 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, when he had grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Loving Father, we thank you that you are our Heavenly Father, and that you have a tremendous heart and grace and love and mercy toward us. Thank you for sending Jesus to pay our sins' debt, that through faith in him we would be adopted in the family, forgiven of our sins, and be gloriously saved, released from the penalty of our sins. Thank you for that. Thank you for your heart there. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for Jesus, who willingly came, knowing what that would entail. And we're grateful for the cross. We're thankful for your deep, deep love. Father, we have so many needs here this morning. I can't in this few moments pray for enough of them. We do ask for especially Harper, Joey, and Amanda and the family there. You would break through in a tremendous way. Give them just what they need. Heal little Harper. We have so many others with physical needs as well. We pray you'd minister to them. But Father, even in a greater way, all of us have need in the spiritual side of life. There are some here today. There'll be some in our audience online that have yet to understand or to place their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. And so we'd ask that you might do that today. Father, there are those that are wore out from the journey and those that have stepped out a bit and aren't walking as they should. Minister to both of them. Help as I proclaim and all of us as we respond. In Christ's name, amen. Well, we've been studying the life of Moses, and we began that study some time ago. And as I was thinking about Father's Day, I just wanted to focus on a number of things about his life here in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. I'm going to especially be speaking to our men today, young men as well. But for all of us, what I have to say applies to each of us. So ladies, don't check out thinking, well, God has nothing here for me. He does. Moses made some choices in life, and we all make choices. And those choices really need to be born out of a vibrant walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and the revelation of his word. Those are where the best choices are made. But his choices greatly impacted how he served God and how he could be used of God. You and I believe, can do the same. On the back of your bulletin, there's an outline there if you want to keep notes. The first thing I want to mention is the refusal that is here before us in verses 23 through 25. And you can think of what he rejected. But again, I want to read those verses. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. They were not afraid of the king's edict. The king's edict was if any boy born and any under the age of one were to be killed or tossed in the Nile. In verse 24, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Moses was marked by the refusal, what he rejected. What we have here is God's summation of an amazing man, a godly man, a man who wasn't perfect by any means. And as we walk through his life, we're going to see that. But here's a guy that God used, a guy that did humble himself before God. I want to speak about the choice he made. This is the faith chapter. This is Hebrews 11. It's been called the Hall of Faith, if you would. And individuals in this chapter, known and unknown to us, are individuals who came into a relationship with God by faith. This chapter and the choice that Moses made, the choice his parents made, it was by faith. And this chapter talks about faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is seeing what is unseen. We believe in what we cannot see. We have every reason to believe so and know so because of the Word. That's faith. Faith is not seeing. Faith is believing. Faith is trust. It's relying upon it. We rely and trust on the promises of God because we trust in Him. He's trustworthy. That's where we're at. The sixth verse here. I guess I don't have the sixth verse. But the sixth verse says, without faith it's impossible to please Him, please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. What facilitated the choice, and what drove the choice of Moses, that Moses made, was his faith, his relationship to God. Those choices were we make, are born out of something. Every one of them are. Born out of this relationship or a lack of it. Born out of a vibrant relationship with God or a lack of it. Those are the choices we make. And that is the impact that faith has. His faith touched his decisions. The reason for it is faith. Again, look at verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. He came from a family of faith. He was blessed in that way. Not all of us have had that blessing. If you haven't, it ought to start with you. It started with somebody in my family, both of my grandparents. My grandfathers came to faith. My grandmothers as well. That's where it started in our family, was passed down. I've been blessed to have grown up into a godly family, parents who love and look to the Lord and are great examples to me. So faith, the reason for it was faith. By faith, Moses, his parents said, you know what? We are trusting God. We know the king's edict, but there's someone greater in our life. Their relationship impacted their decision as to what to do with Moses. In verse 24, by faith Moses, when he'd grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It was his faith that drove him to make the choices that he made. He came again from a family who acted in faith following God. And faith is trusting God. It's trusting Him for what we cannot do and what we cannot see. We tend to think the other way. We want the roadmap, right? We want the road. What's the economy going to do next year? Are the shelves going to be full next year at the store? What's going to happen in the next election? How's that going to impact? What's the outcome of this war in Ukraine? How does that touch the world? We want it laid out, but God said, I ain't laying that part out for you. I need you to trust me. I want you to walk with me. I want you to look to me. I want you to rely upon me and my word. So we walk by faith. Warren Wiersbe said something I think is tremendous. When we trust God, we get what God can do. When we trust ourselves, we get only what weak people can do. We're trusting God. I'm trusting Him with today and tomorrow and the future. I'm in good hands there. And so are you. He's trustworthy. When we look at his life, when we look at the life of Moses, we can see that God was able to do something that Moses could never do. Do you know at the age of 40 he had in his mind, I'm going to be the one that leads Israel out of captivity. And he fell on his face in failure, murdered a guy, ran for his life. But when he humbled himself some 40 years later to God, you see what God can do through someone who's humbled themselves to Him. We walk by faith, brothers, sisters. That's what we do. There'll be a day we don't. That's when we're in glory. We'll be able to see it all. But today we walk by faith, not by sight. Ours is not a blind faith. We've been given every reason to believe in the God of heaven. And we enter into this relationship by faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said that there's no other name, there's no other way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me or by me. We enter this relationship by faith. There may be some of you today that are here or listening online that have yet to make a decision to trust Christ as Savior. You need to know I'm a sinner. That sin has repercussions. It takes you away from God. It ultimately will take you to a place of eternal torment. God doesn't desire that for you. He He desires that you trust in His Son and be gloriously saved. And that can happen right where you're at, right now. You can cry out to God the best you know how and make a decision to trust Him. Moses made a decision to trust God. And that his life was lived out of that decision. So there was refusal here. What he rejected. And you'll see the reproach and what it cost him. So verse 26 says this, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he is looking for the reward. What he got? What did Moses get for this decision? Well, he got ill treatment. That's what he got. It will always cost us something to follow Christ. It always will. If it's costing nothing, we're probably stuck in a place where we're just walking easy street and not walking with the Lord as we should. Moses got ill treatment. He was ill treated by Pharaoh. He was lied to by him and so forth. That's what happened there. But there were times when being ill treated by Pharaoh was preferred to what he would endure by his own people. And this is the most painful. I know it was for Moses. Moses was openly slandered by the congregation of God, the ones he led out of Egypt. Time and time again, as we study his life, you'll hear some of those things. Did you bring us out here in the desert just to bury us here? Is that what you did? Those kind of things were said to him. That was tough. I believe it stung deeply, but I believe there's a day when it was even worse. It was when his sister Miriam and his brother Aaron questioned his authority as a public leader that God had actually led him to the place that he was operating from. That had to hurt. And I cost Aaron and Miriam a bit there, and they both acknowledged their sin, got back on track. But it was a tough journey. I want you to know that at times for Moses. And it will be for those who trust the Lord and make decisions that are godly. It will be that for us at times. That's okay. Amen? That's okay. There is the reproach of Christ, and there are those greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. We're talking about the reproach, what it cost him. Notice what he left behind. What he left behind, verse 25, the last part. The passing pleasures of sin. Passing pleasures of sin. Two things here. The first is the word passing. Passing has the idea of a season. Temporary. Pleasures of sin, that has the idea of enjoyment or to have pleasure in. We might think in terms of liking something. Sinful delights are passing. They do not last, nor do they give lasting satisfaction. So why is it such a pull in our hearts? Why do we struggle against sin? It's the pleasure part of it. It seeks us out. We give in to it. Sin is often fun. It's alluring. It's, and though it is momentary, but for a moment, I should say, but what a moment it is. Moses understood something at this point in his life. It is but a passing pleasure, and its fruit ultimately spoils. He made an assessment of the situation and sin's pleasures, and he left it behind. No lasting value is what he concluded. Warren Wiersbe has something with this as well, and I wanted to give it to you. The phrase pleasures of sin does not refer only to lust and other gross sins. It describes a way of life that we would call successful. Position, prestige, power, wealth, and freedom from problems. We have to be very careful here. Because there is these pleasures that are not lasting, they're fleeting, and we can get caught up in them. This sounds a bit like the American dream, doesn't it? You don't want to have it all. And finally end up on luxury street, got nothing to worry about. Hey, I love America. I love this nation. I am thankful for the freedoms we have. We have much, and we need to be careful what we're pursuing. We need to be careful what it is that we really want. Some things have no lasting value. I believe God has given us all things to enjoy. But it's balance that we must be careful with. We need to be so careful with balance. Am I being used? I want to ask myself some questions all through my life. I want to be asked, am I being used as God would have me to be used? Am I making a difference in someone's life? And am I impacting others in some way for His glory? I hope that's true of you and I. I hope it's true. The Apostle Paul said something I think is so helpful at this juncture. I want to give it to you. It's from Philippians 3, 5 through 8. I think it can help our thinking on the eternal and the temporary, because we really need to make note of this. Look at there's my Hebrews 11, 6, sorry. Philippians 3, 5 through 8. He's talking about his life. He's talking about how he's lived and the things that he's done. And he says this about, and he's talking about how that could, you could take that and say, well, I've really got something before God without Christ, but in reality, nothing. He says, I was circumcised the eighth day. That was according to the law. Of the nation of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, King Saul came out of that tribe. If you want to be one of the tribes, hey, that's a great place to be. A Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. He knew the law inside and out and practiced it. As to zeal, you want to talk about somebody being zealous? He said, I persecuted the church, some by the way to death. He says, as to righteousness, which is in the law, I was found blameless. Now listen. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. You know what Paul's saying? All of that, a big nothing burger. Nothing. He said, he gets a little more pointed here. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. It's all about knowing Him. That's what it's about. Paul says it's a relationship, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish. If you got a King James Version, it says dung, rubbish, and count them to be rubbish that I may gain Christ. There's rubbish and there is treasure. That's what he's saying. And I want to ask the question. I want to ask you, what am I, what are you, what are we pursuing in our lives? What do we want? What is it that really, really moves us? Is it following Christ? Is it being the person God's called me to be? I hope it is. You know, if I'm self-centered, prideful, possession-seeking, my heart will reveal that. It really will. If I'm loving, if I'm kind, if I'm a lot like my Lord, my heart will reveal that as well. Now the apostle looked at his life and says, all those things that I thought gave me a standing among others, those things that I thought gave me some merit before God, those things that I worked so hard at, Paul, what were they? Fertilizer. Rubbish, dung. Nothing. No lasting value. Yeah, people might say, man, that guy can quote Scripture. That's amazing. His detail in following the law is something to emulate. And Paul said, no, it's all, there's nothing there. Nothing there. To know Christ is to be rich. It's to be rich. To serve Him is to experience the great blessing. I believe the greatest blessing that we could ever have. Jesus said something. Now, we are to be about pursuing. We are to be about storing up things. And I think Jesus said it well. Not that He ever didn't say it well, right? He always said it well. Matthew 6, 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Why? Well, there's moth and rust. They destroy. Thieves can break through and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is what you're to pursue. Those things have lasting, lasting value. That's what Moses was about. He said, you know, I'm gonna make a decision here. I'll endure ill treatment with the people of God, rather than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. I'll consider the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. the reward, what he gained. I want to talk about what he gave up again a little more. Verse 26, I just read it to you. But riches. Moses could have been filthy rich. Matter of fact, he was. He'd been adopted by Pharaoh's daughter and such would have had all the power, all the prestige, all the riches that he could ever want. That was Moses. He was in an enviable position. So many of us will get our hearts will take us there. Oh, if I could only be there, or if I only had this. You know, gambling and the purchase of lottery tickets appeal to the heart of man. His desire for financial gain drives him to participate and spend his hard-earned money for such foolishness. His desire for that which could be, it moves him. The casino just down the road from here, doing really well. It's built on the lust of man for money. That's what it's built on. And it continues to thrive. Why? Well, because of what individuals believe it will bring them to. When Moses was taken and Pharaoh's daughter became part of that family, he hit the ultimate jackpot. He did. In man's eyes, he was set for life. If we're going to follow Christ as we should, it's going to cost us something. It will. It has to. Men who seek greater riches. Do you see what is said here about Moses? Verse 26. He considered the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Men who seek greater riches will be known in part by what they have given up, what they have said no to. What they embrace. As far as the world standards go, Moses had it all, and yet went after something more valuable. We're so short-sighted. So short-sighted. He deferred to the eternal over the temporary. And I want to ask myself, what have I given up to follow the Lord? What decisions am I making? Let's look at what he gained. I want that you guys will be moved by this last little segment I'm going to talk about. It says here, verse 26, considering the approach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking for the reward. He was looking for the reward. Greater riches. When Moses made the choice to follow God's leading in his life, he had to set aside the temporary. He had to set aside the pleasure for the future reward that came through in a big way, and I believe that he is enjoying today. Now, he wasn't a perfect man. There were failures in his life. I'm so glad that God includes these with these great, we would call them giants of the faith. Because we understand, hey, in some ways they were a lot like us. When he failed, he got up from those failures, continued to follow God. But without his willingness to suffer for Christ and with the people of God, he wouldn't have been able to reach his potential. His impact would not have been as significant. Because he finally yielded to God, he would stand before Pharaoh one day and say, "Let my people go." What a position. The Lord says, "Let my people go." This is a guy who was on a run 40 years earlier. It's all grace. But he yielded to God and he was pursuing the reward. "Let my people go. Let my people go." He got to stand before the people of God at the Red Sea. Moses, and they were in fright because Pharaoh had let him go, and now he's changed his mind, and dust is rolling. The great army that Pharaoh has is going to come and take them, and they're in panic, and Moses stands up and he said to the people, "Don't fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." And what a victory they had that day. Why? Why was Moses able to be used in this way? Because he yielded to God. Because he was pursuing the eternal. If he'd pursued his own course, he would never have had this next blessing. It's recorded for us in Matthew 17, verses 1 through 3. This is called the Transfiguration, the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus allowed himself, his glory, to be seen in a way that no one else had ever seen it on earth. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John. Those are those three that are the inner part of his 12, the closest ones to him. And he led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. His garments became white, became as white as light. And behold, Moses. By the way, God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. He's the God of the living. Moses, he's Moses' God, not he was the God of Moses. He is the God of Moses. Behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Moses was there and got to talk to the Lord. So did Elijah. Moses, I don't believe, has that privilege. And I don't believe we're reading this story or giving it like we are if Moses would have said, you know what? Man, I have the palace. I have everything a man could desire and more. Why would I ever step down and take it on the chin? Well, he looked at that closely and said, I'll tell you why. Because some things are eternal and some things are passing. I'm going for the eternal. Men, we need to live for the greater riches. We have to keep our eyes there. We have to keep looking to the Lord, understanding some things don't add up to much. Other things are really important. What are really important? Your walk with Christ is really important. It's the big thing. Because it touches every other thing you make decisions on. So I would encourage you today to keep that at the forefront and allow that relationship to impact the decisions you make, which will impact all of those around you who God desires for you to shine the light of Christ to. That's the big deal. What if the richest people in the world, what if the richest people in the world were just the opposite of what most people thought? What if it actually was someone who had little of the world's goods or power, but was devoted to walking by faith before their family and friends, honoring God? What if God was looking to use ordinary men who were faithful to the cause of Christ and were thought of by the world as fools? The possibilities, they really are endless. I want you to know that the richest people in the world are those storing up treasure in heaven, as Jesus said. All the other things, they're temporary. What reward are you seeking? I need to say this. You and I have one shot. That's what we've got. We've got one shot at this. We've got one life. That's all we've got. We've been given this life and that's it. There are no mulligans. There are no do-overs. We can't go back in time and do life again, getting it right this time. We can't do that. We're not afforded that. However, God in His grace, there's something that's even better than a mulligan, something even better than a do-over. There's this thing called repentance. Where we can come to our senses and conclude that God's way is best. That I've been off track, that I've been pursuing something that is contrary to what God would have. We can change our minds. We can run back to Him. Return as His child and experience something amazing. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love this about my Heavenly Father. That to me is simply amazing. He waits at the end of the road looking for His wayward child, ready to receive them back and restore them. Rubbish or reward? Rubbish or reward? The choices we make will determine what we are pursuing. And those choices we are making are born out of something. They need to flow from a vibrant walk with our Lord. So where are we at? Where are we at today? Is there something that it's got a grip on you? It's sort of imprisoned you and God keeps speaking to it. And yeah, but I like it. I enjoy it. And yet it's going to yield that which is perishable. It's going to hurt a lot of people. And it's time to give it up. It's time to get it right with God. Moses made a decision. I'm going to reject the temporary. It has no lasting quality. Yeah, it's fun now. But that moment, a speck in time is all it is. We have all eternity. All eternity. You know what? The great thing about eternity. I'm going to preach on this guy's life. I think I got like 30 lessons on the life of Moses. That's going to take half a year, huh? You realize in eternity, we can sit down with him like for 50 years. Just take your time. You got all eternity. Tell me all about it, Moses, Elijah. I want to hear about it. We got all the time then. But listen, this is a speck in time. You don't get it back. Live for the glory of the Lord. Here it is. Seek the greater riches in Christ. That's it. That's it. That pays a dividend that you're going to look at and say, oh, what did I do that for? No, it won't be that. You're going to be glad you did. Let's pray. Loving Father, help us. We are short-sighted. We get our eyes on things and we maybe pursue them passionately and they don't add up to a hill of beans. Let us see it clearly. I pray for these men, Father, these young men, that their hearts would be tender toward the Lord. That they would say, there are things worth pursuing in life, and He is one of them. Help us as fathers, as spiritual fathers, with those around us, that we might portray You in a great way, in a godly way, and our lives might say that we have a great reverence for You and a great love for Jesus. Father, if there's someone here today that have yet to come to faith in Christ, I pray You'd move them in these moments toward that. And Father, help all of us to yield, to humble ourselves for Your glory and the good of those You've allowed us to be a part of. Bless Your people. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.